أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خير خلقه محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. Our subject today is about Revelation, one of the most important understanding about Islam and Quran. What is revelation? Is it special inspiration? Is it some sort of eureka? Is it disclosure or mukashafa? It is a genius approach to knowledge, or it is something more important and deeper than all these ideas. First of all, when we refer to the Quran, see that the term revelation has been used in various meanings, which sometimes think some sort of, contradiction to be seen between these meanings. Why is that? Before I explain that, let's stick to one rule in all languages, not only in Arabic, in all languages. The link between a word and a meaning can be of three different types. Sometimes we have one word, one meaning. One word, many meanings. One meaning, many words. So there is a term for each of these. When we have one word, one meaning, this is univocal. Univocal, which means that the word has only one meaning and cannot be interpreted in a different way at all. Normally, in our communication or expressing our ideas, normally, in different languages, we rely on this type of thing. Why? Because we want to communicate with people and express what is in our minds and our hearts. And of course, we have to be clear about what we are trying to convey to others. So, when we say that one word, one meaning, this is univocal. But sometimes we see in all languages, in Arabic, in English, in Farsi, and other languages, that there is one meaning whilst there are many words for it. And this is called synonym. In Arabic, it's called mutaradif. Synonym means that the same meaning can be expressed in different ways. So there are some scholars who say that there is no synonym at all because there are slight differences. For example, when you see the difference between nice, beautiful, and gorgeous, you may understand one meaning exactly the same when you say that, for example, something beautiful, someone beautiful, gorgeous, or nice. But definitely there are slight differences between these, each one to express different meaning. But commonly known that they are what? Synonym. Okay? So when there is one word, one meaning in all languages, this is univocal. When there is one meaning, but many words, this is synonym. And the third one is what we want to discuss now. And that is one word, which is corresponding to many meanings. And this is what we call it homonym. And homonym in English, in Arabic, is mushtarak. So, is that any problem with this? we see that it is in all languages something known, that we have homonym words. One word can express different meanings. In English, for example, when you have just opposite to unjust, and just, we say, I just arrived. So it is written in the same way and pronounced in the same way, J-U-S-T, just, but when you talk about someone who is just and he is not doing any injustice, this is one meaning. The other meaning is, I just arrived, and there are many other words, yeah? How do we understand the difference and whether this word is used here? Of course, the context, which means that when we read the whole sentence with the whole phrase, then we understand that what is meant exactly by this particular. If you remember last week, we spoke about Mawla and said that in Arabic, if you open the Arabic lexicon or dictionary, you see 22 different meanings for the word Mawla. Yes? Even sometimes the meanings are opposite, clashing. For example, the one who freed a slave and the freed slave himself. So, when, for example, a master, that's in the past, of course, we don't have such a thing nowadays, yeah? So, when somebody breaks the fast deliberately during the month of Ramadan, yeah, without any excuse, the options for penalty is either to free a slave or to feed 60 people, 60 poor and needy, for each day missed, or to fast for 60 consecutive days. Okay? So, now, the one who really offered this type of penalty and freed that slave is called Mawla. And the slave who himself was freed is called Mawla. So can you say that I stick to one meaning and forget the other meaning? No, you have to read within the context. So in one of the ziyarat towards the Imam, especially for Friday to Imam, Ajallah ta'ala rajif sahib al-zaman, is Ya Mawlai Ana Mawlak. So when you refer to your master, to the master of the time, to your hujjah, to your imam, you call him Ya Mawlai. Or you call Imam Hussein Assalamu alayka Ya Mawlai Ya Aba Abdullah. But when a person who is, for example, in a lower or inferior to his master, yes, say Ya Mawla. But when you say, I am your Mawla, whilst the Imam is my Mawla, which means that. So there are two opposite meanings. So, having said that, let's discuss the matter of revelation. In its original Arabic, revelation means communication in a manner not easy to be grasped or perceived. So this is the literal meaning of wahi in Arabic. So if we open any dictionary in Arabic, you know what is wahi or revelation in its original meaning. It's communication in a manner not easy to be grasped or perceived. But when we talk about the technical term or the usages in the Quran, we see that this word is used in the Quran in five different ways. And I'm going to trace all of them, give example for each one. The first one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala employs the word revelation or wahi for guiding the creation to fulfill its duties, its tasks. Everything in the world, although governed by what we normally in the science call it physics and chemistry, but according to the religious understanding, these are all channels through which the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is maneuvering and functioning. For example, gravity. Normally, it is referred to Isaac Newton that he discovered when they say so, yeah, in the history of discovering the gravity, that one day he was sitting beneath a apple tree and suddenly he noticed that that apple fell down, and he thought that, I mean, if there is something very thin to connect it to the tree, that, okay, to has to be separated and stay there. Why it has come? So he tried to think about it, and suddenly he came to this conclusion that there is a formula for it, and there is some power inside or in the midst of the earth which brings everything towards it. All right? And later on, all the galaxies are functioning, the solar system, only upon this, what? The rule of gravity. One day I was testing my students at the university for the interview for MA courses, and I said that if I perform wudu and my hand was wet, but the drop of water remained stick to my finger without dropping down, what will happen? So the very simple and basic answer to that is what? Your hand remains wet. I said, no, the whole world will collapse. Ah. This means that gravity is not functioning, is not working. And if the gravity stops functioning and working, the whole world, the whole universe will collapse. So for those who say that, how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put an end to the life of earth or something like that, there is no need to think of it. If he orders for a minute or second the gravity to stop functioning, everything will collapse. So let's go back to our subject. So there is an order in the whole creation, in the whole world, in the whole universe. That order is known, for example, under the physical arts, physics or chemistry or scientific research, for example, called the natural causes. These are certain rules and formulas to be read in physics and chemistry, but according to the divine vision, they are channels through which Allah's will, Mashi'ah, is functioning. And that's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the fire not to burn, Ibrahim was thrown in the midst of fire. That fire, with all the atheists or the idol worshippers, thought that, oh, this destroyed our idols, our lords. Yeah. So as an attempt to revenge, yeah, retaliation, he said, okay, make a big fire, thrown in the midst of that fire. Of course, our bodies, as normal, cannot survive or can stand the fire at all. So they thought that in a minute or a few seconds, he will turn into ashes. But Allah said what? قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that he addressed fire to stop functioning, and see that I ordered, we commanded, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَى. Instead of being a source of burning, become a source of what? Coolness and same time tranquility. Bardan wa salaman. Okay? And that is to explain the whole issue of miracles and some other things we are not going to discuss now. What? Now, this order in the creation, who ordered it to become so? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we revealed, and one of the usages of revelation, wahi, is there for this particular thing. And we read that in surah number 41, surah Fussilat, ayah number 12. Surah number 41, ayah number 12. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقَضَاهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ وَأَوْحَى فِي كُلِّ سَمَاءٍ أَمْرَهَا. Then he, translation, he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, capital H, then he made seven heavens in 2 days and revealed to each heaven its task. First of all, when we talk about the 2 days or 6 days, okay, it is not about the days, which is every day for the 24 hours. Why? Very clear. Because the hours are only understood about the motion. The motion is understood when the earth was there. So before the creation of earth and heavens, there was no motion. So there was no understanding of time. Nothing, like time is only understood when motion is there. Motion is understood when earth and the galaxies and the whole solar system is there. When nothing has been created yet. So there is no notion or understanding or aspect of time at all. So it is not 2 days or 6 days, it is 2 stages. Of course, the whole creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made, for example, for the creation of human being, I mean, we need 42 weeks or 9 months, as from beginning of the sperm fertilizing an egg, and this continue for 42 weeks until. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can, of course, is able to create human being at once, immediately. And that another issue, we just discussed it, that أَلَّا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 2 different products. One is creation, khalq, the other one is command, amr. And there's a big difference between these two. And just for ease of your minds only, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they ask you about ruh, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ قُلِ الْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Ruh belongs to the second type of product, and that is amr and command, and not from khalq, which is creation, gradual. So, creation and the whole being, the whole existence in the world needs what? Exact order and design. And that order and design, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that فَقَضَاهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ وَأَوْحَى فِي كُلِّ سَمَاءٍ أَمْرَهَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to each heaven its task. Something similar to that, we read it in Surah Al-Zilzalah, or Zilzal, which is Surah number 99, ayah number 5. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the one of the signs of the day of resurrection, يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا, that day after the whole earthquake, the whole change, okay, يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا, the earth will tell about its news. What news? بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to it. So again, there is a system, there is an order, there is a design, and this will function with Allah's command. But Allah here calls that what? As revelation. This is the first time. The second one is with regard to animal instincts. Animals, insects, birds are guided by innate instinct. And we read in Surah number 16, Surah Al-Nahl, ayah 68. وأوحى ربك إلى النحل أن اتخذي من الجبال بيوتا ومن الشجر ومما يعرشون. الله سبحانه وتعالى, and the ayah translation is your Lord revealed to the bee. Revelation revealed to the bee. Okay. What did you do? That make hives in mountains, in trees, and that which they, i.e. humankind, built. So, what is the purpose of a bee receiving revelation from God, how to build the hives, all right, and take that place for producing honey, whether it is from in the mountains or on the trees, or sometimes in what is made by people, okay, in certain houses. So here, the second type of usage for revelation is something to refer to animal instincts. And that is totally different from the previous one. The order, the first type, this is the second one, is the instinct, which tells and guides and pushes the insect, the animal, to do whatever they do. All right? Then there is a third usage, and that is inspiration of the art. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that when the prophet Musa's mother feared about his life, and of course she told the carpenter to make a box, okay, then what? وَأَوْحَيْنَا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ, we reveal to Musa's mother, أَنْ أَرْضِعِهِ, nerves him. Alright? Then put him in the box, leave him on the river. Alright? So this is in Surah number 28, Surah Al-Qasas, Ayah number 7. So Musa's mother wasn't the prophet. So, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we reveal to Musa's mother, this wasn't revelation in its technical term as we are going to see it in the fifth usage. No. That's inspiring the heart of, in Arabic it is called ilham. Sometimes you call it sixth sense. Yeah? Something which is not obtained from your physical sight, your senses at all. Something you see that you feel it, you know it, you are fully aware, yeah, about it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we put in the heart, we inspired the heart of Musa's mother to do so. Of course, then it comes that inna radduhu ilayki. Don't worry, we are going to bring back your infant, your little child. Okay? And that is what, naturally talking, I mean, putting an infant, newly born, in a box, sending on the river, where is there any, for example, maneuvering system to follow it up, see that where does it go? But that branch of river goes to the castle of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, who is going to be toppled by Musa in many, many years to come, is to take care of the very first one who is going to demolish whatever claims and power and dictatorship he had there. So, in Surah number 28, Ayah number 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we reveal to Musa's mother. Again, in Surah number 10, Ayah 87, Surah Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى وَأَخِيهِ أَن تَبَوَّأَ لِقَوْمِكُمَا بِمِصْرَ بُيُوتًا. So, Musa was a prophet, but not that time when this ayah was revealed. Harun wasn't a prophet when Musa was a prophet. Alright? So he was a wasi, he was a successor to Musa. when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we inspired both Musa and his brother Harun to go and dwell and take Egypt as a place for accommodation. Now, we come to some very confusing usage. And that is the subtle communication, either in good way or bad way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the devils inspire the allies to dispute with the prophet of each time and try to convince them and tell them that God does not exist, faith and religion is rubbish, and don't even think of it. This is the whole life. We have to enjoy and think. So this type of what? Thoughts are put in the mind of people by devils to those who follow them. Again, in the Quran is called what? Wahi and revelation. And that is in Surah number 6, Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 1-1. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ لَيُوحُونَ إِلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِمْ لِيُجَادِلُوكُمْ. So, devils inspire their allies to dispute with you. And, of course, shaitan inspiring non-believers to deny the existence of God. So, this is in the negative and very bad way. Opposite to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the same word and the same term for the disciples. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah number 5, Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayah 111, says that, وَإِذْ أَوْحَيْتُ إِلَى الْحَوَارِيِّينَ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِي وَبِرَسُولِي. Then we inspired the disciples, saying, have faith in me, Allah, and my apostle. So, that Hawariyin were not prophets, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in their mind, inspired. So either that subtle communication comes from Allah or comes from Shaytan. And always in each of us, no offense, in each single and every member of the community, there are two broadcasting stations. One comes from Rahman, the other one comes from Shaytan. And always they are trying to clash and get over. And this is my mind, my heart, my personality to do what? To welcome the call and the inspiration, that subtle communication which comes from Rahman, which pushes me and invites me to do good. And Shaytan to go wrong. And everything, for example, something I find there and no one is watching me, Shaytan tells me, take it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, don't touch it. See? Always there is a clash between these two. Long time ago, a Sudanese doctor, Muqtasim Ahmed, came to Ireland to complete his postdoc as a doctor. He says that whilst I was preparing for the final exams, this happened in 2005, and I have the details of that. So in 2005, in Dublin, whilst this Muqtasim Ahmed was preparing for his final exams, suddenly a letter came from the bank that 40 million euros had been transferred to your account. Do you want to keep it in your current account or you open a different account? You know that tax-wise there's difference between bank And Sayyid Hassan is the best one to tell us about the difference between, having the current account or, a different one, and the saving and the interest. So, that, do you want it to keep it in the current account or open another account? He went to the bank and said, look, I don't expect such a remittance at all. After a week, they sent him a second letter and told him that the interest on that amount now is 34,822 euros. Do you want to keep it in the same account or a different account? He went there and said, look, I told you this is not my money and I don't expect anything. Please stop teasing me. After a few weeks, of course, the interest went up. And the very first night, last night of his preparing for his final project and exams, the fourth letter came. And that, why don't you come to finalize this from the bank? He went to a solicitor and said, please tell them to stop teasing me. I'm now concentrating, focusing on my studies. His colleagues in the hospital told him that, are you crazy? You didn't claim for it. They are chasing you for. And if you work as a doctor for 50 years in Sudan, you'll be supposed to go back. You are not possible to even have, 10th of that, 40 million. So why don't you take it and go? And did you know what was his answer? He said, Islam taught us not to touch what does not belong to us. I said that many times. I said that even if I deliver 10 lectures about honesty, or write 10 books about that, this very word of, or this action of this gentleman is more effective in conveying the message and explaining the value of trustworthiness and honesty. Because works speak louder than talks. Now, what I'm trying to say here, that when two powers, two broadcasting situations and centers are trying to give different messages, here is the believer who tries to follow the right one and forget about the other one. During the month of Ramadan, the long days of summer, there is fruits and some juice, cold water in the fridge. Maybe Shaytan tells you, or the youngers, to go and fetch something. And no one's seeing that. All are asleep. But the believer said that, there is CCTV camera, Allah Ta'ala is watching me. Alright? So that's why the conscious, to be so clear about what we are doing. And in this way, it is very important to know the role of the fourth one, which is the subtle communication. Now, the fifth one is totally different from those four. Whether it is about the guiding the creation and the whole order, about the animals or insects, about the inspiration to the heart, or about the subtle communication. The fifth one is the divine revelation that is a light which comes down to the heart of a prophet, filled with all meanings of awe, understanding, wisdom, intellect, and reflection. Now, and that is when, of course, someone who's supposed to be the guide for the humanity, and these are the prophets, they receive that communication direct to the heart, and now they deal with people in that way. And that is called the real wahi, or the perfect wahi or the complete wahi. What's the other four usages, as we said, that they are maybe one word, many meanings, and that is homonym. What we have to see within and to read within the context, the ayat themselves. And here, for example, we read in Surah number 4, ayah 163. 12 prophets are mentioned altogether in one ayah. And that is the word awhayna, revealed. So, apparently you see it is the same reveal, the same wahi, the same awha, which has been used for the first four meanings or usages. But this one is totally different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 163, Inna awhayna ilayka, we revealed to you, and this is addressed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna awhayna ilayka, kama awhayna ila Nuhin, wa Ibrahim, wa Ismail, wa Ishaq, wa Yaqub, wa al-Asbat, wa Isa, wa Ayyub, wa Yunus, wa Harun, wa Sulaiman, Dawud. So 12 different prophets are mentioned, divine guides, who received that wahi, that revelation, which is totally different from all other previous meanings. But what about special prophets that we call them Ulul Azm? Those who are distinct with two characteristics and different role. One is Sharia, law, and second one, Mithaq, which is covenant. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically talk about five prophets only that either given the first one, and that is Sharia, or the Mithaq, which is the covenant. Now, we read in Surah Ash-Shura, ayah number 13, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Shara'a lakum, starts with Shara'a, and this is Sharia, this is law. Okay? Nowadays we call it jurisprudence. Jurisprudence, the way to understand the law. Okay? A deep understanding of the law. Okay? Shara'a lakum min ad-dini, ما وصى به نوحا والذي أوحينا إليك يو محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم then وما وصينا به إبراهيم وموسى وعيسى. So these are five. نوح, then if you are talking in the historical order, yeah, نوح, then of course إبراهيم, موسى, عيسى, and the prophet, the last and final prophets, yeah, خاتم النبيين, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now, شرع لكم من الدين ما وصى به نوحا والذي أوحينا إليك وما وصينا به إبراهيم وموسى وعيسى أن أقيموا الدين ولا تتفرقوا فيه. Establish the religion and do not cause any dispute about it. So, the first one is about Sharia. And that's why we see that the other ayah which calls them فَصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُ الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. So, we call them أُولُ الْعَزْمِ. And أُولُ الْعَزْمِ is referred to Sharia. But the second criterion is what? The Mithaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't refer to this covenant, taking covenant for all prophets. He uses only for these five. So when we gather both of them, the covenant mithaq and the sharia all together, we see that these five are so distinct in comparison to other prophets. And that is in Surah Al-Ahzab, which is Surah 33, ayah number 7. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِيثَاقَهُمْ وَمِنْكَ وَمِنْ نُوحٍ وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ. So these are the five prophets or messengers who have something extra. The others might be sent only to a village, to a tribe, even to a very small group of people. Although the number of prophets mentioned in Ahyan, in some of the riwayat, as 124,000, yeah. But what we are concerned with in our study and our discussion regarding theology, we know that only these five had something special, and these are the Sharia, the law, and the mithaq. Now, in the Quran now, I am going to quote four or five ayat which deal with the revelation of the Quran to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Specifically, that was revealed to the Prophet was that divine manuscript, okay? Divine words or divine script was something called Quran. First, in Surah Ash-Shura, ayah number 7. أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا. We reveal to you the Quran, which is in Arabic language. Of course, there is a debate whether translation of the Quran in English or in Farsi or in Urdu or French or any other language, is it Quran that all the rulings for Quran apply to it? Or only it is the Quran itself in its Arabic version that is called Quran? Of course, the overwhelming majority of the well-known opinion is that Quran in its Arabic version is called Quran. The other meaning can call it the translation of the Quran into English, not the Quran. Because Quran is something which was revealed originally in Arabic. Why? We come to discuss that later on. The second ayah that the Prophet himself says, that was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed, أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ, addressing the Prophet. Here, the Prophet himself says that, وَأُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ, and that is in Surah Al-An'am, Surah number 6, ayah 19. وَأُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ لِأُنذِرَكُمْ بِهِ وَمَنْ بَلَغَ. So, the Qur'an, this very Qur'an, هذا القرآن, this very Qur'an has been revealed to me in order to warn you. It's not to warn you to that cause some sort of fear. No, no. That to make everything clear to you. لِأُنذِرَكُمْ بِهِ وَمَنْ بَلَغَ. Unfortunately, there are some people who are spreading some sort of confusion nowadays. You see, that Quran was addressed to the Arabs during the lifetime of the Prophet and no longer applies to us, because it was a conversation and communication between the Prophet with people who witnessed him and were present at that time. So it doesn't apply to us. But here this ayah, Surah number 6, Surah Al-An'am, ayah 19. وَأُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ, this very Quran has been revealed to you, لِأُنذِرَكُمْ, in order that I warn you, وَمَنْ بَلَغَ, and whoever will receive it later. So it applies to us, which means that we are ordered and we are addressed to by that Quran. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O people, or O believers, is it only for those who were present at that time, or apply? No, it applies generally to all. In another word or ayah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was suggested, or do this, do that. I mean, why don't you bring it this? And he said in Surah number 10, which is Surah Yunus, Ayah 15. إِنْ أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. I only follow what has been revealed to me. So there is no suggestion is made by me or something that I invent. No, no. And that is confirmed again in Surah Al-Najm, ayah number 4. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He never utters words from his own desire, in his own understanding. It is only a revelation which comes to him. So, this is the general idea about revelation. It's literal meaning in the lexicon, then three usages in the Quran, the four which are not technical, the fifth one is it is a technical term which we need in theology, and of course the context explains to us which one is meant in this particular ayah or that. Inshallah, after the break, we will see the specific revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beginning of that, and the different stories or versions mentioned about how revelation started with the Prophet of Islam, and is it correct to say that he was ignorant about it and didn't know what to do. He needed to go to a sage called Waraqa ibn Nawfal to tell him that now, congratulations that you became prophet or not. That is what we are going to discuss it, inshallah, after the break. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.